She must think I'm the most stupid person alive. Come on, Charlie Brown. I'll hold the ball and you kick it. Hold it.
You know what happens?
Ha! You'll pull it away and I'll land flat on my back and kill myself. But Charlie Brown, it's Thanksgiving. What's that got to do with anything?
Well, one of the greatest traditions we have is the Thanksgiving Day football game. And the biggest, most important tradition of all is the kicking off of the football.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Come on, Charlie Brown. It's a big honor for you.
Well, if it's that important, a person should never turn down a big honor. Maybe I should do it. Besides, she wouldn't try to trick me on a traditional holiday. This time I'm gonna kick that football clear to the moon!
Hug!
Isn't it peculiar, Charlie Brown, how some traditions just slowly fade away?
Are you with me, or do you ever wonder if Charlie Brown's ever going to figure that out? Everybody knows what's coming, right? You know what's coming. I know what's coming. He knew what was coming. You're just going to pull the football out from under me, and I'm going to fall again. And what does she do? She talks him into it, right? We're going to, believe it or not, that has an enormous amount to do with the point of the sermon today. So if you have a Bible, I ask you to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to be today. Where we've been all month, actually, and we'll be there again today. If you do not have a Bible, there should be one underneath a seat nearby. You'll find that on page... Yes, okay. Page 966. All right. Hey, by the way, let me just say Happy Father's Day as well. Dads, Happy Father's Day. So glad you're here this morning. Have you noticed our moms, they get like fruits and a beautiful table and flowers, and we get donuts, duct tape, and power tools. As it should be, right? As it should be. I actually have an uncle that's a pastor, and this morning they were just giving out bacon. That's giving bacon to all the dads. So I don't know. Next year maybe we'll do bacon and donuts. Bacon wrapped donuts. All right. We'll have to try that next year. We'll see how that goes. All right. So we have been in this series all month long called Entrusted, about how we have been entrusted with the gospel. And what we've basically been talking about is the idea that all of us have a longing for more. You know this, I know this, we're never fully satisfied with what we have, where we are, what's going on in our life. There's always something pushing us towards more. And that's actually a God-given desire, because what we know now is not exactly as things will be or even are supposed to be. And we're long, Paul says in this letter in chapter 5, for our heavenly dwelling. Our instruments are having issues. Okay. They want some bacon-wrapped donuts. That's what it is. So anyway, this longing for more, what it produces in us is a search for satisfaction. Now, to satisfy somehow that longing, that desire for more, everyone has it. Everybody walks by faith in something, that the road I'm on is going to satisfy the longing of my heart and longing of my desire. Even if it is a godless road of faith, it is still a road of faith. And Paul's pushing the question in here, the faith that you have about what's satisfying the longing of your heart, is it actually going to satisfy you? Is it going to benefit you at the end when you stand before God? Ultimately, his conclusion is only Jesus will satisfy, and the church has been entrusted with this message of the love of Christ making us new, a new creation, and filling the longings of our heart. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse, and really we're going to look at one word in one verse today. Chapter 5, verse 11, here it is. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is also known to your conscience. So there's something about who Paul is. He says, we want who we are to be known to you, and our conscience is known before God. Hopefully you see the intentions of our heart, because here's the intentions of our heart. We're here to persuade. We're trying to persuade you because we know what it is. We understand the fear of the Lord, not being just afraid of God, but this reverent respect and awe of who God is and that He's the one that has saved us. Because we are clear of that, our goal is to persuade you. Now, what does it mean to persuade? The word persuade, literally, it means the ability to move or affect someone by your influence. So our goal is to persuade you because we know the fear of the Lord, which we want to move you or to affect you by our influence because of who God is. And influence, I guess you could say, would just simply be the degree to which change can be affected in someone because of you being there. The amount of influence you have is the amount you're able to move or affect someone by your persuasion of whatever it is you're trying to convince them of. And Paul says, we're trying to persuade you, ultimately, as you read through there, to believe in Christ. As the one who will satisfy the longings of your heart, as the one who will be the only faith to benefit you in the end. Now, here's the deal. All of us have influencers, and all of us are influencers. All of us have influencers. All of us have people that have affected or influenced our life, caused us to move or to be affected by some kind of change as a result of somebody else in our life. And you know this to be true because, let's be honest, how many of the really dumb things you've done in your life were at least partly were because of someone else's influence? Right? I mean, you know, looking back on your life, those few things that if you're a parent, you pray to God, your children never find out that you did, right? I mean, it wasn't just you, it was you and a friend, or you and two or three friends, or it was Charlie Brown and Lucy, whatever it was. I mean, it was more than one person. And some of the craziest things we've done are because someone else, not that we're off the hook for blame completely, but someone probably was there partly influencing us. I have plenty of those stories. I've shared quite a few of them with you over the years. My wife's brothers have a lot of those stories. She had two younger brothers. One of my favorite stories of her younger brothers is when they were little, I believe a cousin was over their house as well. There's three of them there. And this was back in the days. Anybody have a waterbed? I had a waterbed. I loved my waterbed. In fact, I was trying to explain to my kids what a waterbed was the other day. Waterbed? What's a waterbed? You know, and mine was a full wave waterbed, right? Because it was just me, and it was a queen-size full-wave waterbed. You sit down in it and go like this, but I loved that thing. And if you got hot, you could make it cooler. If it was cold, you could make it warmer, whatever the case may be. I took it with me to college in Tennessee. The only person that could climb in bed, and it was warm, right? I mean, you know how it's cold in the wintertime? Not my bed, buddy. It was great. So my wife's brothers decide, and their cousin, you know what my mom and dad need? They need a waterbed. And so they begin to plan. How are we going to get mom and dad a waterbed? Because we're kids, we don't have money, we need to, I know what we'll do, let's make them a waterbed. Which involved the opening of the window, it involved a garden hose, it involved one person in the bedroom with a garden hose and someone else turning the spigot on when they said go, which ultimately resulted in not only a waterbed, but a water bedroom, a water hallway, a water living room, a water bathroom, and brand new carpet throughout that half of the house, okay? Now, isn't that a great story? My son's heard that story. I said, you ever do something like that, I will only have one child, right? No. Anyway. But a lot of our, what were we thinking things? They were because other people were involved, influencing us. We do a lot of dumb things like that. So the black crowd, or the Black Friday crowds, right? Mad rush. How many people have been trampled on Black Friday, right? Trying to get into Walmart of all places, right? To save $15 on a television or whatever it else might be. One person starts running, they all, like a herd of sheep, just right off a cliff, you know? Influence. And so people influence us to do dumb things. At the same time, some of the greatest things you've ever done in your life probably are not just because you're such a great person, probably because there was someone else there influencing you in the right way. There are a couple of people in particular who were huge influencers on me, influencing me towards ministry. Back in the day when I was wrestling with what am I going to do vocationally with my life? What am I going to college to accomplish? And wrestling with all of those questions, I had plans. I had a lot of great plans. And it was to be, I had business plans and success plans and becoming rich plans. And I figured the wealthier I was, the more money I could give, I could tithe and help people out and kind of give to the church. That was my plan. And I had some pastor friends who said, you know what, there's certainly nothing wrong with being successful. Is that really, though, what God has prepared you for? And they were hugely influential in me heading down the path towards ministry. And most days, I'm greatly, extremely grateful for their influence. Most days. Just seeing if you guys are awake this morning, that's all. So all of us can look back to someone who influenced our life, both good and bad. And the good influencers, if we're honest, man, they have a place of just huge respect in our hearts and in our lives. We're grateful to God that He placed them in front of us. In the same way, you are an influencer. You're an influencer because everybody's life is a platform for something. Every one of us in this room, we have a platform of influence. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, yeah, but I don't have that big of a platform of influence, you know, and that might be true. Some people have very high, very visible, very loud platforms of influence they've been entrusted with. Others have very low, quiet platforms of influence. Have you ever noticed how influential people really are? How easily they are, change can be affected in someone just by what you do with the platform of influence that you have? How many of you recently saw on Animal Planet a documentary they had about mermaids? Yeah, you guys see that? Okay, now let me ask this question. How many of you now believe in mermaids? We got one. All right, we had four in the first service, all right? Yes, we did. We need to pray for some of the people in our church family. We do. Now, anyway, there was this big documentary, right? It actually started about a year ago, Animal Planet, mermaids and all of this. And well, we actually have like about a minute and a half clip from the Today Show. I want you to look at this because there are huge controversy broke out after this was aired. And just for the record, it was fiction. Okay, just in case you wonder, but watch this, and then
mermaids have long been the mystery of the sea. Christopher Columbus is said to have spotted them while out at sea, and Tom Hanks, of course, fell for one on the big screen. But as Michelle Franzen reports, a recent fictional documentary airing on Animal Planet has created a whole new wave of confusion.
With sweeping underwater visuals and reenactments of reported sightings, Animal Planet's latest fictional documentary, Mermaids, The New Evidence, reeled in a record audience for the network with 3.6 million viewers, more than the cable channel's popular Meerkat Manor series and The Puppy Bowl.
People voted with their remotes, so it certainly wasn't too real to be entertaining. I think it's provocative. I think it's a conversation.
It is the sequel to last year's Mermaids, The Body Found. The make-believe, never-seen footage and scientific theories acted out were trending on Twitter and spawned a debate on whether mermaids really exist.
Sure, I do. I believe in mermaids, yeah.
I do not believe in mermaids, but I believe that there are people who will believe there are mermaids after watching this show.
The program drew criticism from one marine biologist who wrote on Slate.com, despite millennia of humans exploring the ocean, no credible evidence of the existence of mermaids has ever been found. The mythical creatures draw the same curiosity as the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, and vampires, and have been glamorized on the big screen. Tom Hanks fell in love with one in Splash, and of course, Disney's The Little Mermaid.
The mermaids travel with whales.
Media critics say Animal Planet's entertaining take on mermaids builds on that history.
Should something purporting to be a real documentary always announce it is faked? Technically, yes, but again, we're talking about mermaids. I don't see how you could be fooled by this.
Historically accurate or hysterically entertaining, it is likely we haven't heard or seen the last of this tall tale of the seas. For Today, Michelle Franzen, NBC News, New York.
I love that last guy. Should they technically have said, hey, this is fiction? Yes, but we're talking about mermaids. Don't you love his sarcasm there? Right? Now, here's why I bring this up. Hysteria, I don't know if you call it mass hysteria, but some hysteria kind of broke out with some people in a big debate. Are they real? Are they not? They are real. And all of this from a fake documentary for enjoyment's sake that was aired on television. Doesn't it amaze you sometimes how influential we are as people? How quickly we can believe something just because someone said it? We actually know someone who refuses to believe there is a God, but now after this show believes in mermaids. All right. Seriously, I know someone where that is the case. Now, we are extremely influential people. We are. In fact, all you have to have is someone, in fact, this person says, well, they had a PhD on there, say that it was true. Well, a PhD can say anything you want. And on top of that, it was an actor playing the role of a PhD, which, you know, we're extremely influential people, which means what you and I choose to do with the platforms of influence that God has entrusted to us is tremendously important. How you and I choose to use whatever platform of influence we have, no matter how great or small, because some of us have larger, more visible, more vocal platforms of influence. I'm standing on a literal platform right now, and I understand what I teach and what I say carries influence. Not everybody does this. There are people that have much greater, much louder, much more visible platforms than I have, and then some of us have very small platforms of influence. It doesn't matter. That part's irrelevant. The question is, what are you doing with the platform of influence God has entrusted to you, no matter how great or small you think that platform might be? Jesus spoke to this often. He spoke to this very often. In fact, in Luke chapter 16, we're not going to read it, but in Luke 16, there's a parable that he told about a dishonest manager. You guys remember this parable? The dishonest manager who basically, what happens is this guy gets caught cheating his boss, and he gets caught being lazy. And what happens because he's lazy as his boss fires him, and he says, well, what am I going to do now? I'm too old to dig ditches. I'm too proud to beg for money or help. I know what I'll do. And so he calls in all of his master's debtors, and he begins to say, hey, take your bill and cut it in half, and you take your bill and cut it in half. And he begins to shell out all these favors because of his position of influence. And you would think when the master finds out, he would throw him in jail for something like that, right? But then it says something completely out of what we would expect. Jesus says, now remember, it's a story, it's just a fictional story, but Jesus says that the manager commended the dishonest manager for acting shrewdly. And then he goes on to talk about how we use what's been entrusted to us. And basically, and this is my paraphrase, basically what Jesus says is, isn't it amazing how people in the world will seize every opportunity just like that to advance their agenda, to use their platform, to advance their own agenda for their own personal gain? Isn't it amazing? Have you ever noticed how quickly we do that? And he says, so why is it that we as children of the light are not just as quick and just as wise to use our platform to advance God's agenda at any given moment when the opportunity arises? That's kind of the point that he draws. But then he says this at the end of that parable, verse 10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you've not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And I love what Jesus says here, because here's what he says. Your platform of influence, whatever it is, no matter how small you think it is, no matter how insignificant of a role you think you might play in another person's life, you still have a position of influence in somebody's life. And how well you steward that will determine whether or not you are ready for God to entrust to you even more significant platforms of influence for others. And if you're not even faithful, I love the end of this, with something as unrighteous as wealth and money, as something as insignificant, Jesus says, within your financial resources, who's going to entrust you with true riches? Because all of us in this room, I'm pretty sure, would agree that in the grand scheme of things, what matters more, money or people? People, every time. And when you think about everything that God has entrusted to you of influence, whether it's your job, whether it's your role as a parent, a neighbor, a coworker, an employee, a business owner, a pastor, a teacher, whatever your job might be, whatever your role might be, that's been entrusted to you. For what? For a platform of influence for the sake of the gospel. You have a platform of influence. And today, really, there's one question that I would encourage you to answer in regards to this idea, and it's this. If I have a platform of influence, am I faithfully using it or selfishly wasting it? Because really, we have an opportunity to do one or the other, and we're doing only one or the other. You're really not doing both. In that Luke 16 passage that we just referenced and looked at, Jesus goes on at the end to say, you cannot love both God and money. Right, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You're talking about that whole idea. You're going to be torn by your masters. Are you using it faithfully? Are you wasting it selfishly? Dads, on this Father's Day, let me just say, I've learned over the years, I've had so many conversations with people. I have a dad, right? We all have dads. And both from what I've learned in my own life and what I've witnessed sitting down countless hours with individuals pouring out their struggles and the things that they're wrestling with in their life, I've come to this conclusion. There is no other earthly relationship that forms a person more than the relationship they have with their dad. There just isn't. And that can seem weighty, and it is weighty. And I don't say that to put a lot of more pressure on yourself, but it's just the truth. Nothing, no other human relationship is as formative as our relationships with our dads. We all want a great relationship with our dad. If we didn't have it, we wish we had. If we don't, we want that. If we do, we're grateful for that, or maybe we take it for granted. I don't know, but we all long for that. You have such a position of influence, and at the time, if your children are still at home, as mine are for not a whole lot longer, we are in the middle of high school, and one headed in the middle, we're in middle school, and one in the middle of high school, and it's just moving fast. And let me tell you what, your kids watch. And they don't expect you to be perfect. I really don't believe most kids expect us as dads to be perfect. In fact, I think our children can be some of the most forgiving people in our life of our faults and insecurities and weaknesses. But man, they're watching. And God's entrusted you with that role. It's a platform you have to influence the life of your children. Some of you are about to have children. Man, what a crucial role that is. Church. Let me talk to us for a minute as a whole. We have a role, a platform of influence in this community. Do you realize that? You say, well, yeah, we're a church. Okay, well, having a building and with a name of the Church of South Lake on the side, that's not what makes us faithful stewards of a platform of influence. But we do, everywhere we go together. When somebody finds out you're a part of a church or you're a Christian, you're a part of this church family, that is a platform of influence. We've worked hard these last 15 years to kind of insert ourselves in the very fiber of the DNA of our community. We want to be a critical part of the life of our community. In fact, we posed a question several years ago. If we as a church stopped to exist, would it negatively affect South Lake County? If we just like packed up and everybody left and we like are here today and tomorrow we're gone, would anybody notice? Would anybody care? Would it hurt the community if we were not here? That's how much we want to steward positively our influence, because we think it should. If we packed up and left, it ought to leave a hole. It ought to leave a void. We ought to be that committed, that compassionate, that loving, that gospel-centered with all that God's entrusted to us. This last week, we received some funding and some food from Lake County. The commissioners had organized a countywide employee food drive. We went up, and there was a little press deal, and they gave us some food. In fact, the sheriff and some inmates came and delivered food to our warehouse this week. And sitting in there ready to go out and be given away. Our buses and backpacks this year is going to give out, I don't know, it's well over at this point, 60,000 meals. I don't even know the final number. It just keeps going up. That's a lot of meals, right? And you know what's been great about that is, yes, on the one hand, you get to serve a physical need of a child or whoever else that might be in that moment, and that's a great feeling to care for them. But you know the side benefit from that that we even didn't anticipate to this degree has been the influence platform God has entrusted to us with people like our government officials, our principals, the superintendent for Lake County Schools that stood right here last fall at our banquet and talked about the difference that made. That's a platform of influence. And now we're not just influencing people, you're influencing the people that influence people. You follow me with this? Is it important what comes out of our mouth and what comes out of our lives if that's something God has entrusted us with? You better believe it. It's hugely important. This new building we're moving into later this year, how many times have you heard us say, a building does not define a church? It is a tool. That's all it is. It's a tool to help us equip the saints for works of ministry, as we looked at last week. It's a tool as a front door, oftentimes, for people that don't know Jesus. You know, I don't think, my personal conviction, I don't think people that are not Christians, most of them are not sitting at home last night thinking, you know what, let's go to church tomorrow just for the fun of it. You know, most people that are not Christians and not believers in Jesus, they're not really sitting at home thinking about which church they're going to go to on Sunday morning. But I do believe this. Everybody, every single person in this world at some point will face something in their life that will make them both question the existence of God and his relevance to their life. Everybody will face that question at some point. And you know what we want to be? We want to be faithful stewards of the gospel of Jesus in that moment. When somebody walks through our door, maybe by themselves, maybe with one of you, because something hit their life and they don't know what to do with it, they don't know how to answer the question they're wrestling with, how could God ever, and you fill in the blank, or, you know, just, is God even real? You know what we want to be? We want to be a safe place for them to ask those tough questions and to wrestle with the truth of who God is. And when we've experienced that here, we'll experience it when we move. We want to be faithful with the message that God has entrusted to us, stewards of that influence. Next Sunday, you heard Donnie mention it earlier, we're going to have a ministry expo out in the back parking lot. Some of you remember we've had those in the past. Others of you might be wondering, okay, what is really that all about? Here's what it's about. When you combine both our move to that new location this fall and ministry plans that God has been bringing before us for this next year, right now that is opening up about 100 or more new volunteer roles, new things that we need to have that will need to be done in the life and the ministry of our church over the next year. There's about 100 ways that somebody can serve that nobody's currently filling those roles coming up in the life of our church. And so every ministry of our church is going to be represented out there, and there are all kinds of ways that you can get plugged in and involved. And you know why we want you to do that? I hope you're here, and if you're not serving anywhere especially, I hope you'll find a place to do that. You know why we do that? It's not because we don't think you're busy enough and we want to take more of your time. It is because, as the church, we've been entrusted with a platform of influence for the gospel of Christ, which is the hope of the world. And there is no greater way you could invest your life than in the mission of the local church to steward our influence in the lives of other people. I don't believe it. I don't believe there's another place you can invest your life that pays bigger dividends than what God has called the church to be. And we don't gather here on Sundays for ourselves only. We don't gather for any other reason other than he is our hope. He has saved and redeemed us. He's made us new. He's changed us. And we go out of these doors every day, everywhere, to steward that influence the best we can. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll be here next week and find a place to serve. That's why we send Haiti teams. Mission teams to Haiti, or why we've been to Guatemala and Romania and Alaska. It's why we fund missionaries in Papua New Guinea and all the other things that we do. It's about stewarding our influence. And friends, you have a platform of influence. Some of you in this room, your influence is pretty staggering. Some of you might feel like it's not that great. Doesn't matter. You've been entrusted with whatever platform of influence God has seen fit to give you. Are you using it faithfully? Or are you wasting it selfishly? I pray to God today that you would be humbled before him and use it faithfully with the message he's entrusted us to communicate. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have first loved us. And I am amazed that you have entrusted us with the level of influence that you have, that you've seen fit to look into our lives and to put us in places where we would be your ambassadors, as the scriptures call it. You making your appeal to the world through us. God, I am amazed that you entrust us with that, but you do. We're incapable of accomplishing that task, but you work in us to do things that we could not do in and of ourselves. And so, Lord, my prayer this morning is that we would be a people faithful to use whatever platform of influence you've given us to faithfully share the message of Jesus that you've entrusted to us. Not just for our own gain, but for the benefit of others and for the sake of your kingdom. God, use us. May we be faithful to you and to your calling. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.